How's everybody doing?
Yeah, great, great, great.
I'm so glad that you're here. It's a blessing to be able to share with you God's words. Before we begin, let us open up in a word of prayer. Father, we come before your presence to acknowledge you are good, you're faithful, and that you love us and that you embrace us, Lord. It's easy, Lord, to just forget that sometimes in the busyness of life and the worries of life, God. We can naturally just be forgetful. And so, God, this morning we sang the words that you have paid for all our sins. These are such powerful words, Lord. We know that we can come before your presence because of this in boldness, that we can enter into your presence, into your throne room anytime. God, I just invite your Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, come. We welcome your presence. We ask that you'll open up our ears, our hearts, our mind to comprehend your truth. God, I pray for myself. May I not simply be a speaker of your word, but a doer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some of you may know I have three kids. Yes, it's a handful, especially when you're trying to be a church planter. So I have three young kids. And when my oldest daughter was in daycare, probably about like 3 years old, they used to invite all the fathers to come in for a Father's Day celebration. Now, Father's Day celebration was always a little bit tapered down compared to the Mother's Day celebration, and we know why. Because Father's Day celebration is just to make the fathers not feel bad because the mothers have a Mother's Day celebration. But anyway, we were at the daycare Father's Day celebration, and what they did was something amazing. There's a small little gym in the daycare, and they will invite all the fathers there in the morning to have breakfast and then into the classroom to be with their children to do some arts and crafts. And I remember we were eating breakfast in the auditorium, and where it was almost time to shift over to go to the classes, the principal got up. And the principal said, "I don't know if you realize this, but this is such a very special moment right here. Although it may not seem like much, but little moments like this leave a lasting impact in the lives of your children." This is so true, because studies have shown that when there is a father figure in our life, children tend to be happier and healthier. It's some strange reason. It just is. But psychologists also told us that for every child, for every human being, there is a father hunger in all of us. Each one of us long to have a father figure in our life because there's something special about a father figure in our life. Fathers function differently for a male and a female. I know as a role of my father overall that my role as a father is to call forth the identity of my children, is to help them come forth into their identity. And I know that how my children see me as a father is different. My daughters see me differently and my son sees me differently as a son. I know that as a son, we look to our father for validation. We're looking for them to tell us that we're good. We're good enough. We are worthy. And I know my daughters look at me, for attention. When they see me and they ask me, they're actually looking for me to see them. And that's why the most powerful words I can say to my children is always, "I see you." You know, when my kids are young and my daughter likes to dress up in princess costumes and, they'll run around and they'll come to me, "Daddy, look at me." They actually want me to see them and say, "I see you. You're lovely." And what people have begun to discover is that when these father hungers are not fulfilled, they naturally lead to father wounds. And most of the, people have said that most of the issues in America can be contributed to a lack of father figures in the lives of people, whether it's through acts of crime or through simple things as emotional health. What they tell us is that without a father figure in our life, we tend to not be as healthy and happier. In fact, we have a father problem in America. They say about 73% of people in America do not have father figures in their life. And what I mean by that is they either do not have a father present or they do not have a father emotionally present in their life. About nine out of ten people in America have father wounds. And so what this tells us is that father wounds leave a very deep impact in the life, in the heart of our life. Father wounds leave this gapping hole in our soul. Without fathers in our life, we are lost with our identity. And it's interesting that most of us who live in our day and age, we go around life not really knowing who we are. And the reason why we go through life not knowing who we are is because we have this father wound in us, this gapping hole that longs to be filled but never satisfied. And we try everything and anything to fill that. For men, those of us who are struggling with worth because of our father wounds, we try to fill it by being successful, by overachieving, because deep down there's always a voice in our head saying that we're not good enough, because there's never anyone who has told us that we're good, because our father figures never have told us that we're good. For ladies, there's a reason why ladies, we like to dress up. We like to look good. We like to get makeup so that we feel good, right? There's a saying for women, if you look good, then you feel good. And so there's a reason why, because we want to look good and we want to feel good is because we want to be seen. And without that, we make all the wrong choices in the men that we marry, in the things that we do, in the choices that we, and sometimes we struggle with saying no. It's because there is this gapping hole in our heart and our soul that longs to be filled, but is not filled because of a father wound. We know that there's an undercurrent that takes place in our soul. This undercurrent always pushes us this way, but we want to go this way. The Apostle Paul says, you know, I know what I should do, but I can't do it. And the things I shouldn't do, I just continue to do it, because there's this undercurrent of our soul. And I like to suggest to you that there's an undercurrent of father wounds that has a tremendous impact on our identity. And this impact on our identity causes us to live life and behave life crippled, handicapped, because there's a deep emotional void in our life. The story that we just read is part of the story of the prodigal son. And most of us are familiar with the prodigal son. We've heard the story so many times. In fact, we heard the story about how the young brother is, the older brother is. But I think we rarely take a snapshot look at the father, because the father really is a prodigal father in that he's not like any other father. Because the things that this father does will be things that people in that time will say, no father does that. And this is just the mastery in which how Jesus tells a story. Because if there was a great storyteller, Jesus is probably number one on that list. Because he knows how to tell a story, weave and twists and turns, and it just causes a sudden shock of like, what's going on here? The story goes off, and we know the story very well. The son goes to his father and asks his father for inheritance. And most of us will go, that's not a big deal. Now, let me paraphrase the story. He goes to the father and says, Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance right now. Give me my money right now. I wish you were dead. Now, I mean, I don't know about you. Maybe we're a little bit more, quote, unquote, open in our day and age. But at that time, you tell your father to go die, he'll strangle you to death and you go die, right? But here it is. Here's the shock. This father says, okay. And so the son wants to go and live his high-key life, you know, because he wants to be out there. He wants to party, and he does all these things to just live life the way that he wants it to be. And so he goes party, and he wastes all his money. We know that. And then finally he hit rock bottom, because eventually, you know, that type of lifestyle hits rock bottom. And so he hits rock bottom. And finally, you know, when people hit rock bottom, the light bulb starts coming on a little bit when you hit rock bottom, doesn't it? You start reflecting on things a little bit. And when he hits rock bottom and he starts reflecting, he says, what am I doing here? I'm hungry every day. I barely have food to eat. But my father's servants always had food to eat. I can go back to my father and ask him to let me be a servant in his household. That was his idea. And here's the story that we just read. It says, the son decides to go back to his father, and as he is going back to his father, at a distance, the father sees him. And I don't know if you caught that. at a distance, the Father sees him. Now, we read that passage, and we just read right past by it, blow past by it without thinking much. But I don't know if you have tried to look at things at a distance. If you're not paying attention for things at a distance, you won't see anything, right? Correct? But the Father sees the Son at a distance. What does that tell us? That this Father has been waiting for his Son to come back every day. That he has intently paid attention to see that if his Son will return. That is the Father. This Father is such a prodigal. No father would do that, especially after your Son tells you, I wish you were dead. But he waits for the Son to return every day. Not only when he sees the Son doesn't even have a chance to say, Father, I messed up. Can I just be a servant in your household? Even before his Son can say that, the Father calls for the servant and says, quick, put on a robe on my Son. Put a ring on his finger and put shoes on his feet. Now, we miss those imageries and the symbols of that. There's a reason why the robe is put on. It is to show that the Father now has covered over the Son. Now the Son is allowed to return back into the covering of the Father, to be a part back into this household. The ring that was put on his finger, usually the ring that is put on the finger, usually has the seal of the family. With the seal of the family means authority. Now put on the shoes means he's no longer a slave. He's a free man. It's powerful that this imagery tells us who God the Father is. That God the Father receives us. And that most of us, when we struggle with our Father, when we know that we have a Father in heaven that receives us, that loves us, that welcomes us, that pursues after us. But for most of us, we have a struggle and we have a problem in being able to connect with God the Father. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time connecting that God is my Father. Like, I'm perfectly okay with Jesus, you know, God is my master, my Lord, you know, I got to obey him, I got to submit to him. But sometimes when people say God the Father loves you, I have a hard time understanding and feeling what that means. I don't know if you have that same struggle. And the reason why I have that struggle is because I have a father wound. And the reason why you and I may have a hard time being able to connect with God as our Father is because you also have a father wound. This father wound is actually quite devastating. Most of us don't think about it. Because if you're Asian, you know that our fathers are great in that they provide for us, right? They work hard to provide for us physically. But we all know that our fathers are a little lacking in some areas, specifically the emotional part. And that leaves such a gaping hole in the lives of us as children. Because without the presence of our fathers, there's this sense of lostness of identity. Who am I? We ask the question, who am I? Am I good enough? Am I worthy? Because our fathers are the ones that first tell us that we're worthy. Our fathers is the first one that notice that we exist, that we are present, that we're not invisible, that we're lovely, that we're worthy to be pursued. And without that, that leaves such a gaping hole in our life. And when there's a gaping hole in our life, guess what? We try to do anything and everything to fill that. Because whenever there's this emotional void in our life, we're going to do whatever it takes to fill that pain. Because that pain doesn't disappear because we stop paying attention to it. That pain doesn't disappear because we ignore it. That pain always exists. And we do anything and everything to numb our pain. Right? Because we're so afraid of pain. Most of us are afraid of pain. We don't want to feel pain. Right? That's why we numb pain. Right? Some of us numb pain by shopping. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, you hoarder. Right? You don't need it, but you buy it anyway. Why? Because somehow when you buy it, it just makes you feel better. There's some of us here are eBay addicts. Well, you know who I'm talking about. There's something about winning something that makes you feel good. And especially when you buy it, too. It makes you feel even better because it somehow numbs the pain a little bit. Right? Some of us, we like to eat. Yeah. You know, a little chocolate here, a little snack there. Like when you're stressed, what do? Sometimes you pick up some snack to chew on, right? It's little coping things. But sometimes, to numb the pain, it gets worse. We fall into addictions. Right? There's another addiction. It's called workaholic. You know, instead of alcoholic, there are some of us who are workaholic. That's our escape. To numb this pain. And so we have various vices we use to numb this pain, this void in our heart. And the other part is there's this lostness of identity. When you don't know who you are, you'll never know what you need to do. You'll never know what your purpose is. And you're going to be always struggling in life to try to figure out, what am I supposed to do? Even though you are at a place when you're successful in your career, there will always be that question. What am I supposed to do? There's this lostness of identity when there's this void of father wounds. I don't know about you and your father, but my father is the typical Chinese male. My father worked hard. When I look at my father, I can't help but to see a person of duty. He provided for his family. He worked hard. When we first came to America, my father worked two jobs to provide for our family. I never saw my father, but I knew that my father worked hard. He provided. But he wasn't present. To this day, I'm still waiting for my father to buy me a Happy Meal. I'm waiting for him, and he has never bought me out because he promised me as a child that when he had time, that he was going to take me to McDonald's and buy me a Happy Meal. Sadly, he never had time. And we would think none of this impacts us, but it does. This leaves a big void in our life. And so my father is the typical Asian. He was physically present, but emotionally absent. Everything I learned about life, I learned through watching TV and through the streets. I learned how to become a man on the streets, not through my father, because my father was not very present. I learned about how to be a father by watching TV. Back in the days, by the way, you know, in the 80s, you know, all the TV shows had a moral value at the end of it. So I learned morality. And I learned ethics through watching TV. My father never sat me down and talked to me. My father never helped me with my homework. My father wasn't even home for dinner. All I knew was that my father wasn't around. That's my father. And now for most of us, as we get older, we don't want to talk about bad things about parents. We say to ourselves, well, the past is the past. Why talk about it? I'm an adult. No, I have a better understanding. Yes, we have a better understanding of our mind, but our emotions aren't there yet. The pain that we felt, that we suppressed, always stays at that level. Unresolved emotions always stay there. It doesn't all of a sudden resolve it because we say, I'm going to think differently about it. We have to face that. It has to come up, and we have to address it. And for most of us, our father wounds are still stuck there. That void is still there, but yet that pain is still there. And we go through life running away from it. We go through life not addressing it, but what we're really going through life is we're just numbing it. But that pain is real. That pain exists. And for me, that pain resided in me for such a long time that I didn't even know it. Because when I became a father, I said to myself, I'm going to be everything to my children that my father was not for me. Right? I'm going to make sure that I drop off my kids and be able to pick them up from school. Because my father never did that. I walked to school by myself in the when I was in the first grade. Okay? Tough guy. My father wasn't there. I made sure that I was going to walk my children or I'm going to take my children to school or drop. I want to make sure that I was going to be there for them. I want to make sure that I was going to be there at home to help them with their homework. I was going to make sure that daddy was going to be there to take them to McDonald's and have a Happy Meal. And do they have Happy Meals? And I was going to make sure that my kids, I was going to take my kids to the playground and play with them. Because my father never played with me. I was going to make sure that I was going to be there for my kids. I was going to make sure that I was going to tell my kids that I love them. I was going to make sure that I was going to hug my kids and kiss them. To show everything that my father never gave to me. But here's the thing. I felt lost as a father. When I became a father, I became lost. I felt lost. I felt am I doing the right thing? There was still this emptiness and void and fear like, this is not good enough. There was always this fear like, I'm not a good father. And this pain, it began to surface because I was getting angry at my kids. Right? My kids used, you know how kids are. Kids are accident prone, walking to happen. Right? They'll bump over the water and spill it on the table. And we're like, that's kids, right? But I would be furious when my kids did that. I would scream at them. My anger was disproportionate to their offense. Because I was feeling deep pain. When my kids weren't responsible, I was getting angry. Why can't you be responsible? I'm saying this to my six-year-old because she forgot her water bottle at school, and I'm angry at her because she forgot her water bottle at school. That's just such disproportionate anger, isn't it? It doesn't make sense, but here I'm so angry at them. I'm exploding in rage. And it's disproportionate. Because what I was feeling underneath was this deep pain. And my anger, and by the way, psychologist tells us that anger is a secondary emotion. It is emotion that we manifest to protect ourselves. And so this anger that I was manifesting was really protecting something deeper. It took me a while to realize what this deeper was. That I was afraid that I was going to fail as a father. That this deep fear in me was that I was going to fail as a father. Now, everything on the surface, I was doing great as a father. I was there for my kids. I was talking to my kids. But deep down, I was afraid that I was going to be a failure as a father. And because of this, it caused me to blame people. Like when my kids started, not being responsible, sometimes I blame my wife. When something happens to my kids, I blame other people for it. What this really was happening was because of this deep pain I was feeling and I was afraid to address. And when the church plant closed, it forced me to really address this deep pain. This deep pain that I was not good enough. My story is that when I was 5 years old, my parents were going to leave me back in China. They weren't going to bring me to America because they thought that they wouldn't have time for me, that I would have been a burden for them, and it would be difficult for me. And as a child, I heard this, saying this, and I remember crying my eyes out. Luckily, my granduncle was back in China at that time, and being the patriarch of the Chen clan, he said to them, you need to bring him to America. Don't worry. And so they brought me to America, and here I was in America thinking, okay, everything's going to be okay. Now I'm in America with my family. Life is going to be okay as a child. And then all of a sudden, my parents are working. I don't see my parents. And now I have to do everything myself. What do you think a child that age says about themselves? They don't think, oh, mommy and dad's working hard, providing money for us. A child would just feel invisible, alone, that something is wrong with them. And that is exactly what I felt, that my parents weren't around because there was something wrong with me. And I realized that I suppressed all of that pain, and it manifested even as I was becoming a father. When my children started hitting the age of my trauma, it started getting even worse. I started getting even more angry. I get more frustrated. It's like when my middle child, Karis, had a hard time with emotions. I couldn't deal with it. I was emotionally stressed. It was triggering me. And I'm angry and I'm lashed and I just don't know what to do. Because there was this deep pain and void in my soul. Because my father never spoke identity into my life. My father never showed to me that I was good enough. And this was causing havoc in my whole life. It was causing havoc in the lives of my children. I had to hit rock bottom. And rock bottom came when the church plant closed. When the church plant closed, everything that I tried to build my identity on by achieving, succeeding, came collapsing down. Because subconsciously, I believe that if I planted a church and I was successful, that I would finally have made it. That I would be good enough. Because everybody says, hey, you know, 9 out of 10 churches close. Church planting fails. And if you can succeed as a church planter, that you've made it. And subconsciously, I believe that if I was successful as a church plant and I build a church big, that finally I would be noticed. Finally, I would be seen. Finally, I would be good enough. And when the church plant closed, I remember God also saying to me, the church closed because so that you will live. The church had to die in order for you to live. I didn't know what that meant. But 3 months after the church plant closed, I remember sitting at home. I was feeling this deep, all these emotions of emptiness, feeling invisible, feeling unseen, that I wasn't good enough. And finally, all this emotion, I couldn't suppress it any longer because I had suppressed these emotions for 40 plus years. It came exploding out. And when it came exploding out, it came out in anxiety. And I couldn't sleep. And so I went downstairs and I remember God saying to me, it's okay to cry. At this time, I'm in so much pain with this anxiety that's driving me crazy. I said, all right, what the heck? I'm going to give it a try. And so I sat there and I started crying. Or I gave myself permission to cry, but no tears came out. The only thing that came out was this deep pain that was coming from this level here. When you are crying and you're feeling it from here, that's called soul pain. And so I was crying, and all that was coming out was like, oh, no tears, but this. And that happened for months. And as I was beginning to address the issues of my soul and my pain, I realized where it came from. It came from when I first came to America. And I didn't have my parents around me. I didn't have the validation of my father. I was invisible because I was not seen. I wasn't good enough because my father wasn't there. There was an emotional void in my life that longed for my parents to fill. But it wasn't there. And it wasn't there when a child is left alone with their own emotions. They don't have the rational ability to go, oh, mom and dad are working, they love me. No. As a child, when you feel alone and you feel invisible, the natural conclusion that you have as a child, there's something wrong with me. And that was the conclusion I had as a child, that I'm not good enough. If I was good enough, then mommy and daddy would have been home. If I was good enough, then mommy and daddy would have praised me when I got hundreds. If I was good enough, then they would have been there for me. And that was my pain. And nobody helped me through my pain. And I just suppressed it. And I just suppressed it. Even to my Christian life, I had a hard time understanding that God is my Father. I have no problem as God is my Lord, being duty bound to God and serving God. But I didn't know what it means that God the Father loves me. Until I started to look at my father wounds. If we want healing for our father wounds, you know what's going to take? First thing it's going to take for us to acknowledge that we've been wounded. Some of us are old enough that we're grandparents, and we say, it's too late for me to revisit all that stuff. Let the past be the past. Let's just let it be. You can't just let it be. It doesn't go away. our emotional pain, our father wounds don't go away because we say, let's just not have to think about it. It's always there. And so we have to begin to acknowledge it. Yes, it did happen. We acknowledge it not by saying how lousy, how terrible our father is. No. They try to provide. They were in survivor mode. And the other part too is they don't know any better. Because that was the way that they were treated as well. We acknowledge that. But we do not acknowledge that there's someone terrible. We acknowledge that we did not receive what we needed from our fathers. That is what we need to acknowledge. That we need to acknowledge that our fathers did not give us the things that we need as a child. Identity, our worth, our acceptance. And that left a gaping hole in our soul that we've been trying to fill for most of our life. We have to acknowledge this. And after acknowledging this, we have to allow this to come to the surface. We have to explore the painful memories. We have to look at this. We need to process this. We need to acknowledge that it caused deep pain in our life. And then we have to release forgiveness. We have to forgive our fathers for their shortcomings. Now, forgiveness isn't retribution or validation, because sometimes most of us have forgiveness with a clause. I will forgive if they knew my pain. I will forgive if they acknowledge what they did to me. That's not forgiveness. That's actually vengeance. Retribution. It's a with clause. And God said very clearly, vengeance is mine. But forgiveness is without that. And when it comes to forgiveness, it's a matter of obedience. We're always to forgive. Because forgiveness is like unlocking this prison that is in our soul. And it is releasing all that built up pain. You'll begin to find freedom for it. And as I was going through all of my pain, and my kids were wondering, like, what's wrong with Daddy? Are you okay? Because sometimes I'm emotional and, like, all this stuff. And my kids would ask me, Daddy, are you okay? And I would tell my kids, you know, Daddy's going through some difficult time now. Because Daddy had a very difficult childhood. And I would tell my kids that. But Daddy's working on it right now. And then at times I would ask my kids, is Daddy doing better? And I've been working on my pain. I've been working on my childhood stuff. Is Daddy doing better? They're like, well, you yell a little less. So that's good. I said, but you still yell. And then I go, well, when Daddy yell at you, is it because you're doing something that you shouldn't do? Like, yeah. Does Daddy yell for no reason anymore? Like, no, not really. So Daddy's doing better now, right? I said, yeah. I realized that as I began to address my father wounds, this anger that I used to have, this desire to blame others, was no longer there. Because as I began to release forgiveness to my father, I was able now to be able to fully feel the love of the Father for me. To know that God the Father loves me. That He says that I'm worthy. That I'm seen. Not only am I seen, I come to realize that my value is not determined on what I do or do not do. That I am worthy simply because I exist. I could have never emotionally got there until I learned to address the deep father wounds of my life. Because our father wounds, it is very crippling. Many of us are walking around our life crippled because we have this deep void in our soul. My brothers and sisters, this deep void comes because of our father wounds. Imagine what your life would look like if this void was no longer there. Imagine what your life would look like if this emptiness was no longer there. It's very beautiful, isn't it? Without the striving to feel like you have to prove something, without the striving feeling like you're invisible, that you're actually seen, that you matter. It's a very beautiful picture. But you won't get there unless you start addressing the issue of your soul. It's time for us to face our father wounds. Richard Rohr once said this: unless pain is transformed, we're most likely to transmit it. Unless we address our father wounds, we're most likely to transmit it. We're most likely to pass it on to our children. And our children will pass it on to their children. And their children will pass it on to their children. And some of us may feel, I'm too old. No, you're never too old to address your father wound. You can do it. But it's going to require a lot of courage from you. It's going to require for you to acknowledge the pain, to acknowledge the wound, and to release forgiveness. Let us pray. As we're beginning to come before the presence of the Lord, I really don't know where you guys are at when it comes to your father wounds. I could only tell you where I've been. And I see in myself just all the struggles of my father wound. And that how that has made me. How that has affected my marriage. How that has affected my interaction with my children, how has that affected my whole life as well. That there was this void that I was always trying to fill. And I never seemed could be able to fill. There was this void that I long for a breakthrough to take place, but never could. Maybe as we talk about these things, this is the first time you're hearing about father wounds. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know that there's a void there. There's an emptiness there that you long to be filled. Here's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we have a Father in heaven that fills this void. But God the Father can't fill this void because you have a wall up in your heart because of the pain. And the pain's there just simply because it just wants to protect you. And so maybe today as we hear the word of the Lord, and maybe it's the time for us to respond. Sometimes responding is hard. But it's a process. Healing is a journey. And it has to start somewhere. Maybe today is the day you start your journey. And we can start this journey just maybe by simply opening up our hands to begin to acknowledge the father wounds that we have.
With a melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemy. Till all my fears are gone, you unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemy. Till all my fears are gone, I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. Invite you to stand. Unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemy. Till all my fears are gone, child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. The invitation from God the Father is that you are my child. And just like the prodigal father, he's been waiting at a distance. He's been waiting at a distance to welcome you back into his arms. And I know it's difficult for you to be able to sense the presence of the Father. It's difficult for you to be able to sense the presence of his love for you. The reason is because there's a blockage. There's a wall. And that wall is your own father wound. And as I said, healing is a journey. It's a journey, but it has a beginning. As I said, maybe today is the day that you start your journey. Maybe it's the day, today is the day that you have courage to go there. And so I just want to invite you, if you're longing for that healing, just open up your hands. Father in.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Let us declare that together, those powerful words.
Lord, this is the word that we declare, that I am a child of God. I am loved. I am worthy. I am seen. I'm accepted. And I'm safe in the arms of the Father. And so, Spirit, we ask that you'll continue the work that has begun today. Grant us courage to face our pain. Grant us courage to seek healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.